you ever thought, what is a professional? Probably not. Here at the Professional by Choice podcast, we interview professionals of all types. C-suite executives, entrepreneurs, social workers, accountants, athletes, you name it. We get the privilege of hearing their stories and figuring out just what makes them a professional in their field. You're listening to the Professional by Choice podcast. And now, here's your host, Chris Molina.
All right, today's guest is Tess Wicks, and Tess is a host of a podcast, a writer, and a public speaker for Money and Words, which is a platform dedicated to educating career-driven women on their personal financial matters. Tess is also a content strategist for Yikkity Yak, which is a name that I really, really love because whenever I hear it, my brain always goes, don't talk back. And at Yikkity Yak, Tess works with small businesses in Chicago to develop and execute digital content marketing strategies focused on expanding reach and increasing credibility for their online presence. And she is also a co-founder of the She Did It Her Way Collective, which is a community supporting college-aged, early career, and entrepreneurial women. Before all of that, Tess lived in the world of actuarial science, and she was an actuary for a couple of companies, with some of her focus dealing with pensions and post-employment benefit evaluation. Tess hails from Decorah, Iowa. She graduated summa cum laude from Drake University with a bachelor's in business admin, actuarial science, finance, and insurance. And she was also a part of Drake's cheer squad and a fellow brother of Alpha Kappa Psi. What up, bro? Tess, welcome to the PBC podcast, and thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Chris. Happy to be here. I see you did a whole background check on me.
Oh, yeah. I love calling it background checking and not creeping because I'm kind of trying to do work. So, yeah, it's definitely research, and I always find it intriguing that you were the cheerleader actuary. That's an awesome title.
Yes, I like to say that I am a walking oxymoron.
So I'm really excited that you decided to spend some time with us today, and I can't wait to dive into the couple of topics that I have. But first, how was your day?
It's good. Busy working on. I've had a couple different interviews today, so it's been fun. I'm typically spending my days writing, but today I've been on the phone, on Skype. So good day.
Yeah, busy is definitely good. And so before we get into your story, do you have any current or upcoming projects or life events that you're excited about that you don't mind sharing with us today?
I am always having upcoming projects and life events. My birthday's in a couple weeks.
Happy birthday.
Thanks. Let's see. So, yes, I run the Words and Money podcast, and I'm always launching new episodes every week, working towards growing the podcast and blog and eventually coming out with a really awesome freebie that is better than any like thing that you would end up paying for. So it's going to be a challenge. Either a 5-day or 21-day, I can't decide. So if your listeners have a preference on just how to get your money right. So working on the content for that so that I can create a challenge to help people get their money in line and know what the actual things that I do to keep my finances organized and just get a good comprehensive look at my finances and what to do next. So.
All right. I definitely follow your Words and Money because even though it's focused on women, I also have money and bills.
Yeah.
And I will say you do one really good thing that I probably need to step my game up. You give away tons of valuable free content. It's really awesome. And it makes me think every single time, man, I need to start coming up with some stuff. Tess is blowing me out of the water over here.
Chris, you are giving away free content. You have a podcast that is free and you interview people.
That's true. You have these really cool PDFs, though. I need to catch up. Yeah. I'll work on that.
I need to get back on that game, but next week. Yeah. Next week.
Oh, yeah. All right. So from the intro, now two things that you're passionate about that you're doing right now are Words and Money and She Did It Her Way, correct?
Yes. Yes. She Did It Her Way is actually passed off. I co-founded it, and now the host, Amanda Bolin, is really taking it in stride and creating some great things with that. So I'm not as involved with it, but definitely a supporter.
Okay, and they're both focused on women, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so why are you so passionate about women?
Well, so we started She Did It Her Way because Amanda, myself, and Molly, Molly Rose Daly, we all were either aspiring or in the world of entrepreneurship. And we really enjoyed listening to podcasts, but a lot of the podcasts that we heard were interviewing men, because there are just more men in the entrepreneurial world than women.
Sure.
But whether you want to admit it or not, there are very big differences between doing business as a man versus doing business as a woman. And sure. It was something that I just really, really craved, hearing the stories of women and how they got their start. So we decided to start the She Did It Her Way podcast to kind of highlight the stories of women and how they went about starting their own businesses. And that working on that for a whole year really inspired me to create my own podcast, which was also, again, focused on women, but this time had a very niche topic such as personal finance. I do it for several reasons, and I love that you say that you listen to it. I think there's a lot of guys that listen to it. I hear from a lot of guys that are like, I've listened to your podcast about women or for women.
And I think it's really important. It's some of the advice that I give to a lot of people. Like when I was back in AKSI giving advice just about professional dress. I would always tell them when I'm talking about the men, women don't tune out. When I'm talking about women's dress, men don't tune out, because at one position, like one point in time, you're going to be probably in charge of a group of people and they're not all going to be your gender.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to know these things.
Yeah. Yeah. And pretty much all personal finance, the stuff that I talk about, men, it can totally implement them in their lives too. But when sometimes we talk about more of the emotional side, it's nice for, I mean, there's a lot of men that have very emotional kind of mindset towards money.
Sure.
But it's also good for them to hear about, coming from a woman's perspective, what we think and believe, because everyone has such diverse, ideas and mindsets around money. And so it's good to just kind of learn what everyone thinks about it and know that you're not alone. But yeah, I focus a lot on women because I think that as a female myself, you had mentioned I graduated from Drake and I studied finance, actuarial science and insurance. And those are all very male dominated fields.
Sure.
I remember being in my senior year, being in, pretty intense portfolio investing class. And I was one of four women, and then the rest were men. And I remember talking about different various topics. Sometimes taxes would come up, and I remember being like, I don't know anything about taxes. And all of these guys are so confident, and they're all raising their hands, and they know everything about everything, and I am an idiot because I don't know anything. And then as I graduated and started working in the corporate world and talking to some of my female friends who also graduated and didn't study finance, I was like, well, if I know very little, they probably know even less. And they were all like, I feel really stupid for asking this question, but, and I'm like, you should not feel stupid because I don't know the answer to that either. but I think that I got very intimidated by thinking, because I grew up with brothers, so
okay.
I would like wear a stupid hat and they would be like, your hat is stupid. And I would be like, okay, I'll never wear it again. So that kind of idea kind of looped into my life when I was in that, corporate, investing in portfolio investing class.
Okay.
Thinking, oh my gosh, if I ask a stupid question, they're going to tell me your question was stupid and then I'm never going to ask it again. So
sure.
I wanted to just kind of create a safe space, very gender specific, so that women could feel comfortable asking their stupid questions. But you know what? I just did a Q&A podcast, and actually one of the questions was from a male. And I didn't say his name. I said it was from anonymous, and that wasn't because it was from a male. I just wanted to protect himself because he was talking about a friend of his. So
Okay.
But yeah, I have male listeners, so it's all good.
Huh, that's awesome. That's really interesting because I've heard you talk about it before, and it's a bit refreshing because you don't hear somebody so passionate about such a niche group that you're a part of. So yeah. I always love hearing that. And so also in the intro, mentioned that you've hopped around a couple of different places. So you've been around and are currently around some of these, web marketing, podcasting, blogging, actuarial science, academia, cheerleading, lots of different areas. When you think about those different things you've done, and you think about the people that were successful around you, and a lot of times from your stories, it sounds like you were one of them. And you also think about the people who weren't so successful. What are some common traits that stand out to you among the successful people?
That's a good question.
Because I'm trying to find if there's some common ground across all those different disciplinary. And if they're not, if you have some things that were specific towards actuaries that is not specific towards web marketers, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you right now, there's big differences between actuaries and, and online marketers. But no, I think that there are definitely common traits that kind of link up what defines a successful person. One being that successful people are always looking to learn, whether it's reading books or taking courses or just finding and seeking out new opportunities to learn something and being flexible to be able to, you know, learn it and then implement it and see how it works for them. So, I mean, actuaries are learning all the time. I still call myself an actuary because I am one. So we're always learning all the time. We're taking exams all the time. When you're finished with your exams, you still have to kind of keep up on your credentials with continuous education. Things are always changing, regulations and whatnot. And it's a hard field to be in. So you have to constantly be keeping up and learning and trying to innovate with new strategies and new ways to go about these financial products. So that's really important. As far as online marketing, oh my gosh, it literally changes daily. and what I found for myself that has kept me really successful is always seeking opportunities to get compensated to learn. So when I find something that I'm interested in, I try to figure out a way to get compensated to learn about that so that I can implement it myself. And that's kind of what I did with content marketing. I wanted to learn how to better market myself online and the She Did It Her Way podcast and then the Words and Money podcast. And I had an opportunity to work with a client on for their content marketing company, and I would be writing for that blog specifically. That opened up an opportunity because I had to write for that blog, I was researching about how to do content marketing for a content marketing blog while doing content marketing. It was like, I don't know what you call it, very beta. No, I don't know what the word is.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, you get it. That's kind of the things that I always try to seek out is how can I get paid to learn and then go implement for myself.
I think that's good advice for anybody.
Yeah, so yeah.
A thirst for knowledge, essentially, and being able to be flexible.
Yes. I think the other thing is that, and this is something that I actually have a hard time with, but successful people just take action. So you don't always worry about, it's kind of the whole done is better than perfect. You do something the best that you can, but you just do it and see what happens. And it's hard for me because I told you earlier that I'm very introverted. So kind of like putting yourself out there on social media isn't really my jam, but I knew that I had to in order to gain some traction and interest in my online brand. And so it's like making that first post or recording that first podcast. Like you're not going to learn. You don't know how to do a podcast until you do it. So it's taking that first step of emailing the prospective interviewee or guest, and then they respond and they're like, sure. And then you're like, okay, now I have to figure out how to do this. And then you figure that out. And then you have to figure out how to set up a website to post it. And then you have to figure out how to get it into iTunes. And it's once you take that first step, it kind of spirals. And I think that's what all successful people do is they're just willing to take that first step and take that first action.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's such an important message that I always try to talk about anytime I do talks about being a professional by choice, taking that initiative. And I always, because I do it with myself, I think about in the future, I'll fast forward 10, 20 years and think about it. Am I in the path that I'm going to regret trying to make this perfect?
Mm-hmm.
And more times than not, the answer is yes. I'm taking way too long to try to do this because of X, Y, and Z. But yeah, you're right. It was the same way with my first podcast. I threw out a bunch of emails and waited for somebody to respond back. And it's like, all right, now I have 2 weeks to figure out how to do this and how to audit the audio and do all that type of stuff.
Yep, that's how it works. Yep. more times than not.
Yep. And so I also wanted to talk about the big point or the pivotal point in your life that got you to kind of where you are. So you graduated college and you're an actuary. I saw that you've had a couple internships and then you went to work for a big company and seemed like you were pretty successful. And at one point you decided to stop doing that, which would blow some people's minds because lots of people just crave that secure and stable job that is pretty lucrative, and I'm sure you were getting compensated well, but you decided to leave all that and do your own thing, do the She Did It Her Way and a couple other things. Can you go through that story and where you were at that point, what you were going through, because that's a big step, and then how you are feeling and if you're happy with where you are at now?
Yeah, definitely. I hope it doesn't take too long. It's very, it's kind of a long story because it starts from when I was in high school. So I've always been a multi-passionate person, as you can tell from all the things that I get involved in. And in high school, I just knew I was good at math and I didn't want to be originally I wanted to be a forensic pathologist, but that sounded depressing once you actually got into the real world working on it. I didn't want all my friends to be dead people, which is what would happen because I'm an introvert. So I was like, gotta make some changes there. And my mom was like, you should be an actuary. And I was like, I don't know what that is. Sounds good. So I went to school for that. And turns out I was good at math. And I could pass exams, which felt really great. And being a woman in the industry it's pretty easy to get some of those internship opportunities, scholarships and jobs just because, you are a minority and it's important for them to, you know, make sure they're hiring. But I guess not to belittle myself, I think I still had some skills. but it was a good position to be in. And that's just the honest truth. And then, again, I knew that it was going to be a well-paying job. So mm-hmm. I got those internships and they were okay. I mean, they were good internships. They paid well, obviously. And I was like, okay, this is what life is supposed to be like. This is what working is. It's not supposed to be fun. It's just supposed to be work. And meanwhile, I had great internships and I got a job offer to move out to Chicago and work for a consulting firm. So, kind of in the midst of me going through college, I went to the business conference that we didn't meet at, but we met through kind of.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's a business conference where young professionals and college students gather together and they're all kind of looking for high success. And it's where, you know, you get motivated off of each other's energy and you learn what other people are capable of doing. And it's pretty awesome. So I met my roommate, there and we became roommates in Chicago. She just moved out last weekend. It was so sad because we've been living together for years, but, you know, new life changes is what's happening there. She just got engaged. So,
nice.
Yeah. So anyway, it's really hard to surround yourself with a roommate who has a very flexible work schedule and does a job that she loves and gets to travel and is kind of her own boss in a way. And meanwhile, you are like going to work every day and not completely fulfilled and satisfied with the work that you're doing.
Sure.
And it took me a long time to admit that. because I was doing a good job at in my work. I was passing exams, which is necessary. I was getting a lot of client work. I won a business competition to travel around the world in business class with some of our top executives and executives of other companies.
Nice.
And I did that, and it was amazing. It was an amazing experience, and I really, really loved the people that I worked with and the challenge of the work. It was just that the kind of the path that I was on in my life and the work I was actually doing day to day wasn't fulfilling my needs of trying. You know, I saw some bigger things for myself as far as making an impact on a personal level. I came from an entrepreneurial family, actually an entrepreneurial town. When you live in the remote village of Decorah, Iowa, a lot of people have to be entrepreneurs because there's not a ton of companies there to employ you. So I came from a very independent kind of upbringing, and I think I was just telling Amanda about this today. I was like, I thought I was lazy when I was in my corporate job because I didn't want to follow the rules and do the work that people were asking me to do. And for a while, I thought I was lazy because of that. But I just realized that it was actually because I wasn't passionate about it.
Sure. It was just a bad fit.
Yeah, it was a bad fit. And I remember talking to a mentor and being like, why can't I get more responsibility? Why can't I talk to the clients and like go travel and like meet with them and all this stuff? And he was like, you're just in the wrong industry. You're in a space where we really protect those relationships because if we lose them, it's hard to get them back. And gotcha. I was like, okay. So I got to a point where I was like, okay, do I quit or do I move vertically or horizontally in the company? And I, you know, remembered my roommate and in all the time freedom that she had, which is something that I deeply, deeply craved. And I decided that it was, you know, if I don't try now, like I'm not going to try. I'm very risk averse, but if I didn't try now, I wasn't going to do it because I definitely wasn't going to try it when I'm, you know, married with four kids and a bunch of other dependents. So I figured now was the best time than ever. So a year ago, actually, it's been a year now. Quit my job as an actuary, which was very hard because that was my identity for probably 7 years. But I was passionate to kind of pave my own way. And through, I didn't know exactly what I was going to do, but through kind of a lot of self-discovery and having various projects to work on in the meantime, I started, you know, doing the thing where I wanted to learn about something and I found a way to get paid for it. And through that, I eventually uncovered that what I was really passionate about was helping others understand their money, especially young people, millennials. I want people to understand money because even me graduating with this degree and working in finance still didn't understand what it took to buy a house or what exactly my taxes were going towards or how that those were figured out or even like how to save and budget and what a credit score is. You know, all of those things are things that come easily to me when I learn them, but I never had anyone to kind of help explain them to me or sit down and walk through them with me. So
yeah,
I think that covers it. I hope that nice.
No, it definitely was, because I'm pretty sure you could have kept on going, because that's not just a thing you wake up and do. You don't just wake up and say, well, I don't think I'm going to work here anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's something that I'm sure you had to think about for a while. It was a tough choice.
It was very, very hard. I think connecting it with my identity was, like, trying to disconnect that at then was the hardest thing, because I had gone through years of saying I'm an actuary, and when you tell people that, they go, oh, you must be smart.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, well, I just study really hard. Things don't come that easily to me.
I can remember all the rules and I have a calculator.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I can't add things. I have to use my fingers. I can't do mental math. There are so many things. I could go on and on. But I failed a lot. I failed a lot of exams. The good news is you can retake them. So
sure.
You don't have to tell people your failures. So that was the hardest thing, was it was my identity for so long. And I had to kind of cope with the fact of, I'm going to leave this job that pays really well. I'm going to leave it. I'm going to take a job eventually that pays me about half the amount. But then, and then I'm going to figure it out. And I think the thing that mainly drives me is that I have a goal for next year to make like 20% more than I made when I left my job.
Ooh, so, I like that.
My 2017 goal.
Hell yeah, that's a good goal to have.
Yeah.
So yeah, I might invite you back to do another podcast for professionals who are thinking about going the entrepreneur route.
Yeah.
And just what it takes to do that, and trying to make sure that people are actually ready for it and they don't do it before they're ready to financially. And then also, if we could probably make some people realize that they're financially okay and they can do it right now.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, the finances play a big role. And especially since I am a personal finance advocate, I always have to say, you know, make sure that you are financially stable before taking that leap, because it can. I mean, you don't realize how emotionally wrapped up you are with your money until you have none coming in and a lot going out.
Yeah, and you don't know when it's going to come in next.
Right, exactly. That is a big emotional roller coaster to be on.
I bet. All right, so if there are people that would like to listen to your podcast or contact you about finances or anything, how can they do that?
Yeah, so my podcast and my blog are both housed at tesswicks.com. So it's TESSWICKS. And you can find me I'm on Facebook, just look for Words and Money, and then Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat is Tess_Wicks.
Awesome. And so I can say your website is pretty awesome. It's really good. There's a lot of info on there.
Thank you.
Is there anything that you would like to leave with our listeners?
Whether you are looking at becoming an entrepreneur or quitting your job or staying in your job and being entrepreneurial in your job, I would say just don't be afraid to take that first step. That's what it's all about.
Awesome. So I love ending all of my interviews with some offbeat questions.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you a couple this or that questions. And if you have more than one word answer, feel free, because that's okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Awesome. Morning person or night owl?
Oh, both.
Both? Okay.
Yeah.
So not much sleep and a lot of naps, I guess?
Yes. That's the beauty of owning my time now, is that I get to take naps. I find that people are successful in the morning, people who are really successful wake up really early, which I love waking up early, but because I'm a writer now, and have to create content, I get a lot of my creative jolts at night after everyone has gone to sleep. But basically, I'm a person that likes to be doing things when everyone else is sleeping, so I can get ahead.
Ah, so you feel like you're doing a lot more than everybody. And yeah, I don't know what it is about nighttime, but yeah, a lot of creative juice is flowing.
Yeah, it's like
the nighttime. It's weird.
As long if I stay up late, then I just sleep in, and if I wake up early, then I take a nap during the day.
Mm. Got it. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Didn't hesitate on that one. What is on your smartphone home screen?
Oh my gosh. Let's see. My nephew Beckham.
Aw, how old?
He's 1.5. Let's see. I have like really boring things. Google Drive and Maps.
Okay.
Spotify. And that's like the first screen, and then you have to like toggle over and have Evernote and the podcast app.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I just realized how boring my smartphone is.
Well, next time I invite you, you'll have to be ready for that question.
Yeah, it'll be all rearranged.
Summer heat or winter cold?
Oh, I'm a fall person.
Okay, so neither.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I saw that you got to visit Australia. Can you describe Australia in one sentence?
You can't actually understand what they're saying, even though they speak English. I remember going up to the coffee stand and the girl was like telling me how much something was. And I was like, excuse me, what? Wait, what? They have like very weird lingo.
Yeah. Ballpark. How many times have you picked up your violin and played it?
Oh, gosh. Like recently or ever?
No, just in your lifetime.
Oh, I don't know, probably like 10,000.
10,000?
I haven't played, I should, now that you've just mentioned that, I will probably play it for the first time in a year. I don't play it very much anymore, which is really, really sad. I literally shed a tear every time I say that. But when I was in high school, I was an all-state orchestra second chair. At Allstate, but in my high school, I was a second chair violinist, and I actually got a scholarship to play in college, and I quit because my teacher was mean.
Oh, that sucks. Is it like riding a bike? Can you just pick it up and start playing it?
No. Oh my gosh, I'm terrible now. I'm so bad. But I play for like my cousin's weddings and stuff. So every once in a while, I have to pick it up and start practicing again when another one gets married.
Sure. Last one. Have you gotten a hickey from a stingray?
I have.
And can you describe the feeling?
It hurts. That is so fun. How did you find that?
I do a lot of research before I interview
That's
people.
That's great. Yeah. I was in the Cayman Islands with my parents, and we went to that stingray park, and I was like trying to feed it. And they like suction up the food. You hold it in a fist, and with your like we call it a big donut and little donut in cheerleading. So the big donut where your thumb and your pointer finger meet, you like hold the food in there and they just suction it up through it. But I must have been holding on too tight because it tried to eat my hand.
ended up with a nice hickey.
Yes.
All right. Well, that was the last question. Tess, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Chris, thank you. This was fun.
Thank you for listening to this PBC podcast. If you liked what you heard, leave a review for future listeners and let us know what you thought of this episode. We would love to hear from you. You can also head over to professionalbychoice.com to be kept up to date on our new episodes released every Monday. The ball is now in your court. How are you choosing to be a better professional each day?